glory of God go together?
But you know, it's always purifying.
Energy.
And angels are there to bring the righteousness of God forth on the earth. I truly believe that's one of their missions.
Well, he says also in Isaiah 13:3, I've commanded my consecrated ones, I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exalting ones, to execute my anger.
Ooh.
So I believe he calls many times the angels of warfare, you know, like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. He says, hey, we've got to judge this city. This wickedness has gone over the line. Mm-hmm. There's not repentance here. We're going to take the righteous out and we're going to judge the place.
Mm-hmm. Also, when David had sinned and had numbered the people, an angel of destruction came to destroy Jerusalem. And God has sent his angels out to do a lot of destruction. They did not destroy because God held them back, but they did go for that purpose at first.
Well, then if you go on down and read in Isaiah 40, verse 26, it says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name.
Yes.
And you know when it said he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and their hosts?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe you could interpret that two ways. There were obviously millions of people coming out of there, God's people, the children of Israel. But I also believe that the angels have been assigned to them were coming right out with them.
That's right. Now, some of you are going to say, now, why do you call stars angels? Because here in Isaiah 40:26, it says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. You can say, well, maybe it's just stars that he created because God created all the stars also. Well, look with us to Revelation 1:20. And it says, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the churches. So we know that God has labeled stars, for some reason, his angels. And here it says in Isaiah that he has called them all by name, Darren. I believe every angel has a name. That is not too hard for God. We have myriads of myriads, and that means 10,000s by 10,000s. So you know there's a lot of angels. And if you've read Frank Peretti's book on, I can't even remember, This Present Darkness, you will see that the heavenlies are covered with myriads and myriads of angels that are doing, that are protecting you, doing your bidding, are watching over you, and also fighting for you on behalf of you.
You know, it also says, and this I have to continually keep in mind, the Holy Spirit reminds me of this daily. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Also, about six times in Scripture, he says, I am no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the book of Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was all through the Old Testament, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not only prophesied about, but he made some appearances in the Old Testament. Well, we need to just know, hey, folks, this angel stuff didn't go away someday in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They're here and they're going to be here, I believe, for eternity, created by God to praise him, to worship him, to do his bidding. And it's exciting to me to think that here God is so wise and he creates all these servant angels to go out and do his bidding. He doesn't have to run all over the earth to do that and all mm-hmm. over the spirit world. He could. But he's using an angelic order here to go out and get the job done.
That's right. Well, let's go to Luke. And we're getting into the New Testament, and we're going to go right into Luke 1. Here in Luke 1, we see two appearances.
Wait just a minute here. You're getting ahead of me here. You want to jump over. You're so excited to get over into Luke.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The New Testament is great. I mean, some of you are saying, well, God used his angels in the Old Testament, but he didn't use them very much in the New. Oh, come on. And he's going to use them much more in the future.
But now hang on here. I got to go back here to Psalm 86, and then we'll jump into Luke. Barbara's about to have a fit over here, but that's okay. That's okay. In Psalm 86, it says, incline thy ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Now, some of you are in jobs, and God spoke to me this morning. He says, some of my people are in jobs where others are trying to get them fired. They're trying to ruin their careers, ruin their reputation. He said, I want you to speak to them. Well, here in verse 14 of Psalm 86, it says, O God, arrogant men have risen up against me. A band of violent men have sought my life. They have set out to destroy, and they have not set thee before them, but thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious. Then verse 17, Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me will see it and be ashamed. Because thou, O Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. I believe that in our workplaces and in those places where there's all this political stuff going on, you don't have to be a politician to be a victim of politics. Now, you know that if you work in a situation, maybe you've become the scapegoat. Maybe you become the one, and there's just something about you that they don't like. Well, I want to tell you why that is. There's an anointing on their life from the devil. There's an anointing on your life from God. The devil hates God, and he's going to try to hurt God by getting to you. Now, here it says, O Lord, give us a sign. Show me a sign for good. I believe the angels can be a part of your vindication. God wants to vindicate you and keep you strong and keep you from dashing your foot against a stone, as it says in Psalm 91. We already read that. Well, so here's the way I would pray. Lord God, I'm asking you for a sign. I'm asking you for a sign. And I want the people around me to see that you're standing up for the righteous here. So I ask and say that the angels here are going to work in my workplace to bring me favor and take me out of disfavor and out of persecution. And Father God, I'm praying that for our folks that are listening right now, that they'll grasp the impact of this, that these angels are servant angels to go out there and protect, to vindicate, to save careers, to save jobs, to save benefits. And Father God, we don't just stand around and take it. We're going to give you and the angels word capsules to work with and to work through. So we're going to package your anointing and your power in these words and believe that you're vindicating us and you're going to show us a sign for good, and our vindication will be complete. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Now you got to get up and get after it, folks. Some of you are sitting around, oh God, why don't you help me? Why don't you help me? He says, look, I've given you angels. I've given you the word. Now get up and speak the word and go for it. And I believe that right there is a message from the Lord God for many of you that are listening today. I'm excited, Barbara. We're going to talk about Luke, aren't we?
I hope so.
You hope so? We'll get to that in the second portion of this scripture, and I'm believing that it's going to be done in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God.
You were saying something here about angels in Psalm 86, and Darren, there is a real, a very real, possibility here that when people reject God, that the angels are totally taken away and taken off of this person, and they do not listen to this person anymore. In 2 Peter 2, I was reading about there are self-willed, daring men who reject authority, and they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. I believe some of these men, God has just absolutely taken his hand off of them, and the angels have cleared out
now
from
that,
helping him and being an imposing force for him. They are now against him.
That's scary.
Isn't it? It really is.
You want to be careful that you don't trample on angelic majesties and that you don't dishonor their presence or their purpose.
Yes.
And don't say, oh, that's spooky, you guys are out there flying around. You're talking about fairies. We're not talking about fairies.
No, and it appears twice, not only in 2 Peter 2, verse 10 and 11, but also Jude 8. So these are two scriptures I don't fully understand myself, I've got to admit, but they are real.